This is an excerpt of a recording of Mindshifters Radio, March 15th, 2019. For more information, you can go to mindshifters-academy.org or whyagain.org. Mindshifters Radio is on Blog Talk Radio from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central, 5 days a week. So we have another caller, area code 610. You're in the air.
Dr. Tim, Susan Bingham in Pennsylvania.
Welcome, Susan. Thanks for the call. How can we support
you
today?
Thank you, too. Well, I have a question. You mentioned the Jesus autobiography. You had bought that very quickly after I mentioned it on Michael's Hour. Have you been reading that?
Yes.
I have a question coming from it, and I find this book so exciting, but also a little scary, but I'll ask my question first. Yeah. Don't tell me you don't. It's such a change from my training and heritage and so forth.
I am 62% of the way through that book.
Oh, you are. Okay, well, I'm almost halfway, so that's great. My question is, on page 84, it says, Jesus is saying, as you raise your vibration, those areas of your mind that are incompatible with that vibration come into the forefront for healing, and they will come into your awareness as negative events manifested in front of you. This is a very important awareness for you to have. My question is, Michael started us off using mind shifters, and the mind shifter that he gave me has a ripple effect that's continuing, and it's caused a tremendous amount of remembering and events from the past coming to mind so that I can put them on a worksheet and clear them. Is that what he's talking about when he says, those areas of your mind that are incompatible? Or is he talking about, now that you're open, you're in for deep trouble because bad things are going to start happening?
So, Susan, let me just, if you hadn't noticed it, let me just alert you to the fact that your fear factor has just jumped to the forefront of your mind again.
Yeah. It's been doing that quite a lot.
This is my take on this. When you read that, my mind said, this is Guy Finley. This is Michael Rice. This is Way of Mastery. There are so many different angles and views that present the very same thing.
Mm-hmm.
That everything I've read in Jesus, my autobiography, is completely compatible with the Way of Mastery. And it's completely compatible with my interpretation of Dr. Michael Rice's work, although he may not think so, because everybody interprets these things differently. So it's completely compatible with Guy Finley, who says, mm-hmm. lessons write in on the back of events that I don't want. The lessons I need to learn to move to the next level write in on the back of the events that I don't want.
Mm-hmm.
When I ask to be shown, I'm going to be shown. When I raise my vibration, when I say, I want to know God, I want to go home, I want to let my light shine. If I want to let my light shine, I have to find and remove every bushel basket I've layered on top of my light. Doesn't that make sense?
Okay. It does make sense.
Breathe. It's safe to see your bushel baskets. I need to tell you this because you're afraid. It's safe to see your bushel baskets. Guy Finley says, there is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. What's happening in you right now, Susan, is you have such a strongly rehearsed muscle memory for fear.
Mm.
You have such a strongly practiced, high momentum pattern of thoughts about how it's dangerous, it's vulnerable, etc. And the core of all of these tools, whether it's A Course in Miracles or Way of Mastery or Guy Finley's work or Dale Ellen Hoffman's work or Michael Rice's work, is it's perfectly safe to understand more about what you have made in the dream of separation, because the more you understand of what you've made in the dream of separation, the more you can let it go, drop your attachment to it, and open your eyes and see more clearly the capital T truth of what actually is. The capital T truth of what actually is, at the bottom line, is there is no separation. The student says to the master, "Master, what do we do to the other person who treats us with anger?" The master replies, "There is no other." So when you have this fear reaction, when you're filled with dread because Yeshua in the book Jesus, My Autobiography, says, when you raise your vibrational level, everything that's unlike love, I've switched into Michael Rice terminology, will come up for healing. When fear is your response to that, that's something that's up for you to heal. That's not a valid survival level defense mechanism. There is no threat to your true nature in that statement. Take a breath.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I had created this line of demarcation. I have these journals. Michael said, "What a treasure trove." I said, "Michael, I want to burn them because, you know, they're full of crap." He said, "Oh, don't burn them. Look at them, because those are your worksheets. All the stuff that you need to work on is in there. This is a treasure trove." So I've been looking at the treasure trove with all sorts of emotions, and these have been hard to handle. However, when Jesus said here, "They will come into your awareness as negative events manifested in front of you," I thought, oh no, not only am I reading my journals and going, "Oh my God, how could I have done that over and over and over again and not understood that that doesn't work?" I was fearing that, okay, somebody's going to come to my front door and do something horrible in my very near future, and that I not only was having to handle the junk from my past, but that a whole lot of bad stuff is coming up ahead. That's what I was scared of.
Okay, that's not what you were scared of. Remember how we talk about it in this work? That was the excuse I manufactured to give me permission to slumber in my suffering, to generate more fear and rationalize it, to have reasons for it. That did not cause your fear. Take a breath.
Okay.
This is from Guy Finley's lecture that we listened to last night. When I know that this thing you're doing is wrong, and I give myself all of the reasons for how I'm right to be upset because what you did or didn't do proves that I'm right, it doesn't prove that I'm right. It proves that I'm living in that moment from a nature within myself that is explaining away the possibility of my rebirth.
Okay. So this is a way of not doing the work, making an excuse for not doing
the work. Anytime I blame anyone or anything outside of me for the emotions and reactions that I have, in Michael Rice's work, he calls it denial. It's the primary level of denial.
Uh-huh.
So take a breath and understand There is no such thing as bad self-knowledge. This is just an old, well-practiced pattern of catastrophizing that's stuck in the constellation of thoughts that Susan Bingham calls herself. It has nothing to do with who Susan Bingham is. Susan Bingham is one tiny spark in the infinite mind. She's completely safe in every moment. There is nothing that can happen to her that will chip, damage, rust, fade, break in any way her true essence. Her complete safety is woven into her very existence. Breathe into that.
Yeah.
And recognize that you can step back and watch your mind generating all of these thoughts.
Yeah.
Grabbing onto some things, trying to push away others. And then pouring energy into those thoughts until they create emotions, which motivate that part of you that thinks she knows what's right and what's wrong to try and grab certain experiences and thoughts and emotions in life and push away others. And the essence of who Susan Bingham is has always been behind, a side of, under, above, in a completely different position from all of those thoughts and emotions. And the essence of who Susan Bingham is only always and forever safe and whole in the mind of the creator that gave rise to her.
That is so great. Yeah,
I'm breathing.
Yep.
So look at it this way. What's happening in the book, Jesus, My Autobiography, is simply a slightly different restatement of what Michael Rice says when he says, I need to process out, face and process out all of the dis-ease energies for and from all of my relations and my generations. That's written in the worksheet process.
Yeah.
And the more I step into this set of accurate observations about what gives rise to my thought, what gives rise to my emotions, what gives rise to my pains, then awareness of this truth is a liberating factor. It can be part of what helps me turn my focus inside myself, which is in direct contradiction to what my culture has taught me. My culture teaches me that when there's a negative thought or emotion or a negative physical sensation, I need to scan my outside physical environment to decide who I need to run away from, who I need to attack, who I need to bribe. To change that situation so that I don't have to feel my alarm system going off. The alarm system that's there to alert me to the fact that there are energies in my system that don't belong there. There are lower vibrational frequencies, to step back into the verbiage from Jesus, My Autobiography, that I'm carrying in my energy field, lower vibrational energies. They can't hurt me. They have nothing to do with my true nature. They have to do with a level of mind that's just a byproduct of my true nature, which is the ability to be aware. So take a breath.
That was the funniest line. I hope you find it on the archive. Who can I attack? Who can I bribe? It struck me funny.
But that's good. We want to be able to laugh at this silliness in ourselves. So that line from Jesus, My Autobiography, that says, when I choose these higher vibrational energies, it's going to stir up, it's going to bring to me events in my life that will reveal to me, resonate in me, the lower vibrational energies I carry in me. It's not doing that to punish me. It's not doing it because it's out there keeping score and says, now Tim needs to suffer because he thinks he's going, you know, straight to the head of the class and going to be a spiritual master. So we need to knock him down a peg or two. There's no volitional, human-like process out there, spirit being, that's going to punish me when I say I want to be more enlightened or I want to raise my energy. This is just the way the energy system works.
If I
want to get more direct access to my, you know, conscious access to my true nature as this being of light and love with this infinite capacity to extend that energy of creation that some call love in every interaction with every person, every being, I have to become aware of all of the roadblocks, all of the bushel baskets, all of the false conclusions and thoughts and traumatic energies that I've downloaded and or I inherited from my bloodline, so that I can see past them, integrate them, remove them, cancel them, choose whatever word you want. The process is the same. So then Guy Finley says, all right, lessons that I don't want, that I need to know, ride in on the back of events that I don't want. Those events are not happening to me to hurt me. Those events aren't anything new. It's happening all day, every day in my life. The only difference is if I step into a process like this of observation and use of the tools, then I see them more accurately as an opportunity to become aware of and then release energies that don't belong in my system. Take for example, what happened in my life on Tuesday. The events that happened prompted me to throw an interpretation on them that resonated old, deep grief, confusion, and fear and shame from a time when I was 15 years old and from a time when I was 21 years old, and it brought it up full force in my energy system so strongly that it felt like I was going to be sick to my stomach, like there's a medicine ball in my stomach that I'm going to have to carry around and I'm on the verge of throwing up, and it stayed active in my awareness until I used the tools enough and let myself go and see the true nature of the energies and the false conclusions that I'd held on to, and then they lose their power over me. Please breathe into that and understand this was just life unfolding. It's not as though because I decided I want to help this Michael Rice project that now God, light, love has to knock me down a peg or two. And that's why it was revealed to me that this wasn't a good choice. That has nothing to do with it. That's all projection. That's all rationalization. That's all trying to attribute human characteristics to a natural flow of energy like gravity or the wind. Oh, the wind is really angry today. If I metamorphize, if I try to project human characteristics onto these things, I simply tie my energy system in knots, and I use excuses which only buy me more time to suffer.
I get it. So, take a breath. You always say take a breath. You just went on a marathon. That's really good, and it leads me to a question about this whole book. The book is, as I'm reading it, my hair standing on end because it is so familiar. It's The Course in Miracles, and I'm amazed that Tina Louise Spaulding is able to get this and to get it current, because Jesus uses the word download. You just did too. Now, that's new.
Right,
that's since apps on the iPhone.
But understand this. Tina Louise Spaulding isn't getting this.
She's getting it from Jesus.
She's not getting this. You know, for this, I just had thoughts about the internet show segment from October 14th, 2015, or one of those times where something flowed out of me about role models, and I would refer people to the archives for that, or it's probably better to go to my website and look for that because I've taken that segment out. It's a short segment on role models where we were interacting in that show with Susan, another Susan, and Michelle. And Michelle kept trying to say what a role model I am. And what flowed out of me was the best, most concise understanding of that that helped me understand it at different levels, that wove into it things from Guy Finley, things from Michael Rice, things from Way of Mastery. Mm-hmm. Tina Louise Spaulding is the thoughts and images that you have in your mind about a being who has part of her spirit, mind, energy system manifested in a physical form. That's not who's doing what comes out in that book. That's just, call it what you will, you know, Ruka Dukucha, spirit, Yeshua, the creative mind, the one mind, Ananda, as he talks about in the book. It's the same thing as Abraham Hicks. That's not Esther Hicks doing that. So I would call you to breathe into that and watch what your mind is doing, because as soon as you attribute those characteristics to a person, now you're comparing yourself to her and how far above you she is and how much work it would take you to get there. And it's not Tina Louise Spaulding that you're seeing. What you're seeing is the power behind the principles that she has some access to because she's asked to be shown. She's dismantled and put aside enough of the bloated nothingness that we were talking about, that Emerson speaks of. She, at least momentarily, was able to get enough of that out of the way. And now what you're seeing spill out in the book or on these pages or when she does these channelings is the principle expressing through her. It's not her doing all these wonderful things. It's her getting herself out of the way, and you're seeing the expression of these ancient truths. You're seeing the expression of this life force energy expressing in a way that you can read and understand on the piece of paper or hear in her tone of voice. Just a caution when you say, I can't believe she's able to do this.
Well, I didn't mean it that way, Tim. It's truly, I didn't mean it that way. I understand she's channeling. The words that come out on the page are modern words, current words that we use now, which means that Yeshua, who's speaking through her, is right with us right now using our present vocabulary. That's what I meant. It's just isn't that she's doing it. It's
perfect. Right on target.
Okay.
Just for you to let that in.
Mm-hmm.
Could help you set aside some of the fear that will get generated.
Okay, I have another question connected. Yeah, it's probably habit. I have a daughter who's an Episcopal priest, and not only a priest, but she's the dean of a cathedral. She's a very good Episcopal priest. But, of course, she's working, and she's a very open-minded, universalistic person. She studied Hinduism with us. She grew up in a sort of a Vedantic household before we turned back to Christianity. The thing is, I've been wanting to share this book with her, but I'm afraid to. This is fear again. I'm afraid that she just will be, her own little apple cart will be upset. And maybe this is right, that I just do it myself and not talk to her about the book itself, but just some of the ideas in it. I guess that's safer. I don't want to undermine her commitment to her career or vocation or her belief.
Well, I don't think that's possible. And so let's just say, just in the true spirit of the Mind Shifters Radio and Dr. Michael Rice and Jeannie's work, we would just call you, as we would call everyone, to do their own work on any emotion, any energy, any thought that comes into your awareness in your system that's less than love. So this has nothing to do with should you take this action or that action? Should you share the book with her or not? Would that turn her life upside down? This has simply to do with the recognition that in this moment, when you think of sharing something that's of value to you, it resonates the energy of fear, and we have tools that you could choose to apply to dismantle some of that energy, which we know from the teachings is false. If it's other than the energy of creation expressing in form, if it's other than love and compassion, it's false. And you can get busy and say, well, I chose not to do that because, and move on and not do the worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
And we're helping people become aware that when I do that, I slumber in my suffering. That energy of fear is still in my system. It's there to be resonated the next time I read a slightly different passage in the book that I say is so good. And I think, uh-oh, what does that mean? What do I have to give up if I step into that? It's there to get resonated the next time I see a news story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we would go in this work. We would direct you to say, this has nothing to do with, this work has nothing to do with, should you or should you not share that book with your daughter? This work is about, at increasing levels, as far as I'm committed to it in my work, I become more and more aware when I say or I think but don't say, I have fear, I have anger, I have shame, I have guilt, I have frustration. And then to the degree that I'm willing, I can apply the tool and move to a different level of experience of my true nature in each new present moment. That's what this work is about. And the actions I take from that space, they will lead to the next integration, strengthening of relationships around me, or revelation of the next pained energy, false belief that I need to address and remove. Does that make sense?
It does, and it makes me realize how, helps me realize how self-reliance is just so important, because it, what I'm thinking about is a codependent interaction with my daughter. And
exactly.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Well, it isn't. It's never that way. It's all false. All of that codependent stuff, all of that thought, if I share this with her, it will turn her world upside down. I will upset her. I will make her sad. That's just a false statement. And those false statements we label in this work as codependent simply because they take the form in their falseness of I'm causing somebody else's emotions and reactions, or they're causing mine. That's all. But it's just a thought. It's just a statement. It's all false. So I thank you so much for calling. We're down to 17 seconds.
Oh,
I'm
going
to have to hang up so that Michael can step in and take over the show. I see that Jeannie's on the switchboard. Appreciate the calls from Linda and from Susan. It's greatly appreciated when we get a call. Thank you so much. Please, everyone, try to remember, we have Guy Finley coming in on Tuesday to discuss his new book, Relationship Magic. And please try to remember that we come from love, we're made of love, we are love, and everything else is false. Thanks, everyone.